Kristen Shelvin, and this is the Mostly Mom Podcast. While my days are filled with many roles and responsibilities, Mostly Mom is my favorite title. We all have a story to share about finding goodness and beauty in our ordinary, everyday lives. So I'm taking some time to sit down with a fellow mom to discuss the good and the hard, the joys and the sorrows, what we are facing in our current season of motherhood, and the lessons we have learned along the way. I hope you are challenged, encouraged, and inspired by these conversations. Here we are.
Hi.
Hi, Laura.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm good.
I'm glad you're here.
I'm so glad that you asked me. I feel very honored.
We both had kind of funny days.
I did.
I was hiking with kids and I'm in my sweaty hiking clothes and you were
fighting with
a
the sink.
Kitchen faucet.
It won. I did not win. It won.
The mountain won as well. Yeah. Like my knees feel very much 40 something right now.
Yes. Love that.
Well, I'm really glad you're sitting here with me. I'm glad we had time before you and your family head off to the next thing for the school year, which we'll get to that.
Yeah.
I'd love to just start by hearing you tell your story, whatever that means to you, how far you want to go back, all the whatever details you want to share. I'd love to just hear your version of your story.
My version of my story. That was the one question I didn't really, I was like, it'll all come out. What I reflect on is it's funny how your story changes because one of your, you know, you ask about pivoting. Like, I feel like I'm at that point now and I'm not a person. I usually kind of get my plan and that's the direction I go. And so like growing up, it all evolved a lot around piano, but then also volunteering, help babysitting, nannying, helping out at the kids groups or youth groups or camp counselor, that type of stuff. So like, if I look back on that, I was like, yeah, all that stuff was setting me up to be a teacher. Mm-hmm. And so I went into music education and like, I was one of the few that started my college career as a music ed major and ended it and actually went into music education. And that's what I did and have been doing for the past, I don't know, 23, 24 years. And I never really intended to do anything different. Actually, I didn't even intend where we ended up because we ended up overseas. So I, you know, started teaching, tried a few different schools, moved back to Minnesota where I met my husband. And really, that's another kind of changing point there. And he had a cousin that had was a missionary kid and had gone to international school. So when we met, early on in our relationship, like he had made it clear, like, oh, I might want to be going overseas someday or like work at an international school because he was also a band director, teacher. And so I'm like, okay. I'm like, that sounds fun, maybe. But it happened a lot sooner than we expected. We had only been married 2 years and we stumbled across this opening for a school, international school in China. And he's like, well, they're going to be here in Minnesota. We were in Minnesota at the time. And he's like, let's just go get some information. And so we thought it would be this big room. It was around Christmas time and we'd get a pamphlet. We'd find out some information so that we could then do our due diligence and whatnot. And it ended up being, it had snowed that day too. So I don't know if there were supposed to be more people and the snow kept them away, but it was only in a hotel lobby and it was the director of the school, one other gal, and then us. And we just like huddled around his laptop and he showed us like the promotional video for their thing. And as I'm watching it, I'm like, oh, okay, I could do this. Like, looks like it's a good school, well-funded and like nice package. And that's kind of what I thought about it. But then he's like, okay, I'm going to interview her and then I'll come back and interview you guys. And we're like, oh, interviews. Oh, okay. And that's what happened. Basically, they offered him the job. They didn't have a position for elementary music, but they had the band position. And so we're like, we're moving to China. So and that's how we ended up in Beijing. And luckily, they found another nearby school that had an elementary music opening, which that, again, we didn't know was unusual. We got over there and they're like, you're not at the same school. Because in the international school world, often they hire teaching couples. Mm-hmm. And so that was our start there and we loved it. Like it was just that whole new world. And we actually made some money as teachers over in China, at least. And So that was really fun and travel. Like, we got to go to Thailand and Cambodia. And this is all still before kids. And then actually, speaking of mom, so when I did become pregnant, though, a lot of my our family back here was kind of like, oh, so now you're going to move back
home.
Now you're going to come back. And I was like, no, because I have a nanny who also does my laundry and like cleans for a very, very, very affordable price. And my school had a creche. So this little nursery that these nannies could bring the babies. So I was able to actually bring my babies to work with me. And could nurse them on my prep times and throughout. And so I was like, no,
this we don't have that here.
I was like, they don't have that here. I was like, my childcare and like the working situation is actually much better. It worked out well. So it actually worked out pretty well to have the babies over there. Mm-hmm. Granted, they'll never be president. They were both born in China, but you know, I think that's okay. So yeah, but then we got stuck there for COVID.
Yes.
Well, we actually got stuck here first in Montana for COVID and didn't know when we were going back to China, which I think when we first showed up, we thought it would only be a week or two. And it ended up being, I think, 9 months before we were allowed to go back to China. And then from then, we could leave, but we couldn't easily get back in.
Right.
So I think we ended up over there for 3 years. And normally, you know, we work the school year, but we'd come home back to Montana for mm-hmm. Christmas and the summer. And that kind of did us in. And that was a little tough, because as much as we loved the school we're in, which it's not just the Chinese culture, it's also other cultures from all over the world and the travel, we loved that. But it also, we'd been there for a good run. And that was...
Without a break.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Being there for 3 years with no time to come home.
Being able to come home. So, and it was time. And the kids were, now they were finishing elementary. So it was like, it was a good transition time. So we got to come back here for a year. Mm-hmm. Which was a huge blessing. Although then it made us be like, can we retire now? Like, that would be fantastic. But we can't. So the original plan was, you know, we'll come back for the year, reconnect, recharge, see everybody that we haven't seen for so long, and then look for another international position, go back overseas, and probably stay there at least through the kids' graduation. And we both found that we were a little bit burnt out of teaching. Mm-hmm. And like, COVID was a part of that whole online, in person, just kind of all over the place. And then it was my husband. I thought he would be the one that would be more anxious to leave and feel real restless here. And I thought I would be the one that would want to really settle back in Montana, but it actually ended up being a little bit reverse. And this is one of those I regret, but I also, you know, as you learn in life, even though it may, in hindsight, it may not have been the best decision or it wasn't a fun thing to go through, at the same time, had you not gone through it, you probably wouldn't have ended up where you were.
Yeah, and so, the things you learn along the way and some of the choices that are clearly pathed out for you mm-hmm, mm-hmm. because of things you walk through while you're in that weird season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it might be a little bit one of those, because then so I'm like, well, no, but this is the plan. Mm-hmm. This is what we're supposed to do. And so like, I'm applying for all these things and Nate's like, maybe I'll send something. And he was very like, just like, eh. And I'm like, no, but I didn't feel settled until like I knew we had positions. But we had this conversation. We'd actually taken a walk, my favorite walk around the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And we were discussing like, okay, at that point we kind of had two job offers. One was in Vietnam and one was in Poland, but I had seen something that made me think the Poland job was not an option. Like they'd maybe given it to somebody else. And we were looking at the Vietnam and we're like, I don't think, you know, if Poland doesn't come through, we don't want to do the Vietnam one. So what can we do here? What can we, you know, what jobs can we do? And we were starting to talk about that and be like, okay, and starting to wrap our heads around that. And then the next day is when we got the offers from the Poland school. So I think I was like, oh, phew. And I think my husband was a little bit like, aw. But either way, we ended up in Poland, which I can't say, I think I've told you, like, I love Poland. Like, it really is a lovely European country to visit. people, well, I was going to say there's a little bit of their, they won't smile at you on the street, but that's, they just won't. They're just doing their thing. But they really are lovely people. And like there's bison there, which surprised me, but there's lakes, there's the sea, there's mountains, there's the prairies. It's a lovely, lovely place. And so we get to have the European living, which I do kind of like. We have our apartment and then there's the bakery and the corner shop and the coffee shop all within, I think everything's in 10-15 minute walk from our house. So that's kind of fun and
delightful.
Beautiful. Yeah, it's really, yeah. It's, I still don't, I haven't adjusted my grocery shopping quite to fit it, but I'm getting there. So yeah. That's part, but we aren't happy at the school. So that's been a challenge. That being said, my kids have found groups at the school, which makes it much more doable. And who knows, the second year, we've only been there 1 year. Maybe the second year will be different. But because of all of that, we have been looking at like, okay, well, what else can we do? And like, what are other options? And like my husband's discovered his passion for writing and like set a goal for himself to write a novel. He's like, I don't care if it's published or not, but I'm like, I want to know that I can finish that project. And I've been trying to think of like starting out as side hustles or jobs that maybe can eventually, but so I've started my own little like virtual assistant business, which is not a world I wouldn't say it's like a dream, or I didn't see myself as an entrepreneur or having my own business, but
you sort of stumbled into it a
little.
Yes,
a little bit. So working to get all that. But so we're, like I said, we're in this weird transition. I guess that's the part of my story I decided to share with you.
Yeah, well, and even, you know,
that's where I'm now.
Difference between going into something fresh and new with that first year in Poland, and everything is new, everything's different, everything's a learning curve. I'm hoping that the second year is more gentle or softer landing where not everything is new. And
and I realized how much I had forgotten, because we had been at the school in China for 15 years, which especially in America, maybe not so much, but in the international school world, that's a long time.
It's a long time to stay at one school and be a teacher at the same.
A lot of times it's an average of 4 or 5 years, because a lot of people see it as a way to see the world. And so they intentionally go to these. They go somewhere else. So, but I forgot how hard it was to be like, and even like the kids didn't know me or the students didn't know me. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you don't know how I normally, like, you know, when you're there for some time, they start to know. So I do know that the second year will be better.
And you love the age that you teach.
I do. I used to teach upper elementary, like grades 3 to 5 mostly. And now I'm teaching like the pre-K kids in kindergarten. It's so much fun.
So fun. Teach the love of learning and not necessarily the scales and the notes technique.
Yeah, you just like try to make them have a positive association with music. We get to move to the music. It's like keeping the beat, using our singing voice and just being creative and dramatic and playing. It's a lot of play-based. So I like that. There's a lot of that stuff. So yeah, that's fun.
So go back for a minute. You talked about the benefit of having, they were called IEs, right? These gals
nannies or the
family
IE.
Helpers. What is it like having babies when there's no family around and you're in a different culture, different medical care system? Did you take that all kind of like go with the flow? Or was that for someone who's a planner and has things planned out and set out? Was that hard?
I think because we had already been in China for 5 years, maybe, before our kids were born. So that probably alleviated some of it, because then I knew the medical system, and like there was the basically your expat foreigner hospital that charged way more than like the local hospitals. But you had doctors that could speak in English. And someone taught a yoga class after school in my classroom. And I'd become friends with her, and she was actually a doula. So she was from California, but she was fluent in Chinese.
Wow.
And so she would often come alongside expecting mothers and be at the hospital. And so could be a little bit of you understand where I'm coming from, but you also are fluent in the language, so can help mediate.
That's a gift.
Yes.
To have that person in the room. Yeah.
And so I guess I didn't worry about it too much, which is probably good because then my son ended up coming 7 weeks early.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Camden was, I think technically 6 and a half, but yeah, he was like 7 weeks early. So I still remember it was called student led conferences. And so it was a kind of a special day. You know, I'm talking to parents and they're like, oh, when are you due? Da, da, da. And I'm like, oh, I'm still here for a month. You know, we'll have our arch, we'll have our program and then I'm off and da, da, da. No, I had the baby that night. Oh. So we had not done the birthing class. We hadn't done any of the things. But I think because families are not there, there is a community within the international schools. And,
sure.
And this is one of the interesting things about Poland versus China. In Poland, like, we live in an apartment and are surrounded by Polish people. Mm. And in China, like, we lived in a compound, like a gated community.
With all the Americans and foreigners who were teachers?
Yes. Yeah. And it wasn't strictly, like, there were Chinese there and other nationalities, but a lot of the teachers lived there. And so, like, we knew most of our neighbors and everybody was within, again, that walking. And so, like, there was one time my car broke down on the way to work. And I think 10 people passed me and were like, do you need a ride? Are you okay? And, like, I had sent my kids with one of them, like, the first people that stopped. And, like, just take my kids to school. I've got the tow truck coming. But so there is, I think because of that, the communities do tend to be a little more tight-knit. Mm-hmm. And so one of my friends, like, she just went into worker mode and got the crib. Like, they went to our house. They got everything set up. They got us diapers. They got us the wipes. They just got all the things that, like, you needed right away.
Yep.
And same thing with, like, that was for Camden. So we did have a dog. And so, but the IE, same thing. It's like, you have to say, take care of the dog, everybody just kind of swooped into action.
Yeah.
What was different though, was, so we were in the hospital for 12 days. He was never, somebody I remember, like, were you panicking? And I was like, no, I don't know if I realized I thought I should be. Or
right.
Luckily, he was in the NICU one night, and because his lungs were a little bit underdeveloped, they were going to try to stop the labor, but it had just happened. It just moved really fast. And so his lungs were a little, he was only in the NICU overnight. And then they moved us into a room. And I think but nobody ever communicated this, which that was, and I think that was more just the way they did healthcare. And this particular hospital had all sorts of doctors from all over. There were a lot of Chinese doctors, but I know one of them was from Egypt. One of them was from France. So you had a lot of, and my actual OBGYN, she was from America. So you just had this huge variety of perspectives, which can be good and frustrating at the same time. But there was a moment with the Chinese doctor. And this is one of those other things about parenting that you're sometimes like, I don't remember why I was so stuck or insistent about this, but I was. And, like, in my case, it was breastfeeding and nursing. And I was like, well, no, I want a nurse. I want to. And, you know, they had said, if you give them a bottle when they're really, really little, the chances of them wanting to nurse later will not be. So that was stuck in my head. And they had a nurse, a lactation consultant, and she was French. I think she was the French one, but very, very good. And so she was like, nope, we can do this, all these ideas. But then some of the nurses that were on duty were like, I don't want to do this. And so she complained to one of the doctor, and the doctor was like, you just need to give a bottle. And I was like, well, no. And this is because I've talked with this other gal who, you know, this is what I want to do. And he's like, just listen to us. We know what we're doing. We've done this before. And it was very like, you don't question me. Whereas in Poland, they will scold you. Like, they're like, why didn't you do that? So it's interesting seeing all of those. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, like, you just have to, I stood my ground on it. And again, I'm not sure why or where that came from. Because he ended up, I don't know, I had lots of milk and he ended up, you know, being nurse. But it's kind of little things like that. But I don't think I worried about it too much. And I think it's because I knew I had been there. I think if it was like going into a brand new country and mm-hmm. being pregnant would have been a little bit different. But I'd had, and like a lot of my friends had little ones as well. And so you just kind of know how it worked. But there were differences, like with IE or the nanny, where like my kids would be running around pretty much in just their diapers, you know, and their little toddler ages. And she would come in and she's like, oh, they don't have socks on. They don't have any clothes on. And like, they're going to get cold and they're going to, you'd see them. And like anytime they were outside, they were so bundled up.
Definitely like, the difference between yes. an American parent yes. and a Chinese parent. Yeah. So,
they're like, they're going to catch a cold running around in their bare feet. And so there are things mm-hmm. like that. And you just, just kind of like in anything or even in parenting, you pick your battles. Yeah. You're like, okay, this, okay, it's not worth.
Well, and how fun and fascinating and interesting to be surrounded by all of these different perspectives on things that we don't really have, especially yeah. in Montana.
Yeah.
We don't
yeah.
have the yeah. cosmopolitan, metropolitan yeah. sort of input that you're getting when you're living yes. with people from, like you said, France and Egypt and China and American.
Yeah, Australians and New Zealand.
All over. Like and, everyone yeah. brings their own parenting perspectives yeah. and life perspectives, and how fascinating to just get thrown in
yeah.
the mix of all of that yeah. in the middle of starting a family and yeah. making choices on how you want to do things.
Yeah. And so, and that's what I... you know, what's the best advice you've ever given? And actually one was, I think for me, it was like, don't listen to what anybody else says. Like there just, yeah, sometimes I think there is a truth to, you just have to go with your gut. I remember reading before I had babies, different parenting books or all, you know, you just, you're like, oh, I've got to get all the things, read all the books. And so I co-sleeping, I'm going to use that as an example.
Mm-hmm.
I had no desire to co-sleep or did not. And I know that's one of those things mm-hmm. that there are strong opinions for it. There are strong opinions against it. And there is everything in the middle. And I think what I've come to learn, and I remember being frustrated this when I was reading books, I was like, this is telling you it's right. And this is telling you it's right. And
like the experts disagree.
Yes, like you have experts on both sides. And so, but for us, the co-sleeping is what we ended up doing. And I had a crib, and I don't know if it was because we were in the hospital and he was next to us. I mean, he was in an open incubator, but I don't know if that was part of it, but it just ended up being the natural thing. And so then once you're like, well, clearly, well, and because I was nursing, and so I'm like, I don't want to have to get out of bed and get up. And so I'm like, this is much easier. And so that's what yeah. ended up working for us.
Yeah.
And then, you know, once I kind of realized that, then I made sure to do the research and be like, okay, well, I want to make sure that this, I'm doing this safely. You know, I don't, because actually, anyway, that we'll get onto tangents, but, you know, I want to do this safely. And then I looked it up and I'm just like, it worked for our family.
Mm-hmm.
But there could have been another circumstance, or if we were in another place where that might not have worked. So I feel like with all that advice out there, like, and even all the different cultural perspectives, like another Chinese one is hot water. They think hot water cures everything. And I don't think it cures everything. However, in the winter, when you don't want another cup of coffee or tea, like hot water with a little lemon, it's nice. So, you know, it's like you kind of take what works for you. And but that's the other thing, is not everything works for every
right.
personality.
Yeah. Well, even with my three yes. girls, right? I yep. think we've had this conversation. Like my oldest was by the book, textbook, mm-hmm. followed all of the things that people said, like every 3 hours, this will happen. And she did that. Yeah. So I feel like my moment of being a parent for the first time was like, oh, well, this isn't so bad. This is great. I just got an easy kid, the first one. And then my second had all the reflux and GERD and all these tummy issues, which was a whole different scenario. And then by the time we had our third, I was tired. And I didn't have the energy to keep up with a rigorous schedule and So she just kind of slid in wherever, and that's probably what third kids do. And so she, to this day, is my snuggliest one, and I think it's just because she got packed along everywhere, yeah. and she was always in a carrier or being held or snuggled up with somebody. And so even the kids you have, like the yeah. season that you're in at all, you've got to be flexible and adaptable and open to trying something different.
Yes, because you're like, well, this worked with that one. Yeah.
Doesn't seem to be working with this one.
Why isn't it not working yeah. with this one? I remember, I got so mad at this lady. I didn't really get mad at her, but I'm walking, waddling. My son's pushing his little cart in our little compound, doing circles. And this other gal who's also pregnant and had a little one there about the same age, or two little ones. And so she was expecting her third, and hers were about 2 years apart. Mine are 16 months apart. So I wasn't quite prepared for that, but she's like, oh, you'll love it. It's so great to have them so close together. It's wonderful. And she gushed about it. And I'm like, she lied to me. It was so hard when they were little.
Yeah.
And I kind of had the same thing. My oldest, I was like, oh, this, I mean, we had the whole the premature thing, but he actually ended up being all right once we got past that and we got him thriving and stuff. And I'm like, oh, I can keep one alive. I can keep two. And you're just like, no, it's so much harder with two. And then I can't imagine three. I only have two. But yeah, I remember being like, oh, it's so, and I was like, no, it's hard. Like, I didn't sleep. I didn't have jet lag for several years. Like, you know, China, that was a 13, 14 hour difference.
Yeah.
There were times we'd come back here for the summer. I didn't have any jet lag because I was just so sleep deprived. Yeah. So that's the other thing I would tell, like, young, just be kind to yourself.
Yeah.
Because you're sleep deprived. It's okay.
Have compassion for yourself, young moms with kids and babies and diapers and bottles and nursing and all the.
It's a lot. Even, and I had the blessing of, like, I did have the nanny, so I didn't have to do, like, I'm well aware of what a blessing that was, and mm-hmm. I was still exhausted. Mm-hmm. So I sometimes liked going to work only because I was like, I know what to do here.
Yeah.
Like, I know how to do this part. And the whole parenting thing, I felt like I still feel like I don't know what I'm doing.
So talk about music for a minute for me, because you were a piano player. You are a piano player. Mm-hmm. You teach these sweet little kids now. Do you ever get to play for fun? Do you get to play for yourself once in a while?
It's funny because for a long time, that was a really important, like, we don't even have a piano.
Yeah.
Like either of our places. We did in China for a while. When I first started teaching, and even in China, I found an amazing piano teacher who actually got me to a level where I was like, oh, I wish I would have had you in college. Because she rehashed my hand position some and brought that back. And then I had kids, actually, is probably what happened there. And so this past year was actually a lot of fun, because in China, I usually played as an accompanist. I actually like to accompany more than I do solo. I do have some certain songs I love to play for enjoyment, but I really do love accompanying. And I didn't get to do that at my school in China, partly because my piano teacher was like the hired artist in residence. And so that was her job, was to accompany all the things at our school there. And so this year, in Poland, I was able to accompany more, and I did enjoy that. But I've also, this is again where you're like, no, I enjoy playing. I still don't mind it. But I also don't miss it that much. Or even like, because I know one of the options, if we come back, like I could teach piano. And I'm just kind of like, I could. Like, I know it's a possibility, but not, I don't know. I think it's just shifted.
Yeah.
Like it's still a part and still something I do enjoy, but I guess I like sitting down and playing. I like to have something to play for, though, which is why it was fun when I got to accompany for those choir concerts and such. But yeah, I don't know. I don't miss it as much as I maybe thought. Like if you would have asked me when I was 20, I was like, there's no way. I wanted a grand piano and I wanted all these things. And it's not quite the central. Even our children, though, we both really wanted our kids to take piano lessons, and we did try, actually, when they were the right age. That coincided with COVID, though. And so they had a very inconsistent 3 years of piano lessons, and now we're at the point where neither of them are terribly keen, and mm-hmm. I'm like, if you're not keen at this age, it is just going to be
a battle, and we don't want that.
We've got one that's playing tuba, and he loves that, so we'll let you do music. The other one's excited to join choir this next year, so we're like, okay, they're still doing music, but I'm like, if they're going to do piano at this point, it's going to have to be they want to. I'm like, I failed.
No, you didn't fail.
But it's funny because you do think that though. Yeah. You're like, oh, the other thing I feel I failed at is that my kids still don't really know how to tie their shoes. But they both have shoes now for this next school year that they're going to have to learn. So I'm like,
that's okay.
You need to learn how to tie your shoes.
I have one that still, she was just the other day like, can I get the Velcro ones? I'm like, but you know how to tie your shoes, right? Yeah. Yeah, but I just like the Velcro ones better. I think it's faster, to switch them out at school for gym or something. Yeah.
I actually don't tie. I tend to buy shoes now that I don't have to tie to. So.
I get that.
I'm like, oh, I get it. I just want to slip mine on too.
Mm-hmm. We've talked about, you've brought in a lot of the questions that I like to ask people. Yeah. Tell us, too, before we keep going, a little bit about the VA, like virtual assistant.
Oh, yes.
What does that look like for someone who doesn't know what it looks like to do something like that digitally or remotely? What's that job description?
Well, so I'm still kind of figuring it out myself. And I did use ChatGPT as my career counselor this past year when you're like, I don't know that I want to keep doing what I'm doing. And actually, part of it is... There's some attitudes and disrespect at our school that is just draining, and some behavior. And I think this is why a lot of teachers get burnt out is mm-hmm. you realize that you are going for the lowest denominator. And so there's even kids I know like yours and like mine that are nice kids, and whether they're straight A or not, who are there to learn and who are curious mm-hmm. and they get kind of... Because you're dealing with so much behavior and behavior management, and it is exhausting.
Yeah.
And so we even come home and we're both, husband and I are just like dead. We're just like, oh, and our kids are like, duh, 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 and we're like, can we just have like 30 minutes of silence and then we'll be ready? And so I don't like that though. Like I want to... The benefit of is we're all at the same school right now. So I do get to see my kids throughout the day. And like, we do get to see each other from time to time, and it's easy to keep tabs on it. But at the same time, we are so drained that it makes it hard in the evening. And your kids notice that. They pick up on
it. Yeah, they do.
Like, oh, I wanted to tell you, but you seemed really tired. And mm-hmm. So I want to be available for them. But I'm talking to ChatGPT and I'm like, I don't want to go back to school. And there's nothing that I'm like, this I've always wanted to do. Right. You know, there's not that one, like Nate or my husband wanted to like write a book. So he kind of had his like, this is passion project. Mm-hmm. I didn't quite have that. And I'm like, but I have, you know, a certain skill set. What could I do with the skills that I already have? And I'm okay to do some training and stuff, but I don't want to like go back to school for anything. And virtual assistant. And it was kind of the same thing where I'm like, I don't really know what a virtual assistant is. And a lot of it can be admin tasks. So it can be email management, file, just even organizing your Google Drive, a lot of calendar appointments, scheduling, kind of keeping tabs on those things. Sometimes it's customer support. One of the things I do really enjoy doing is like Canva design. I still remember the days from like yearbook editor-in-chief and Microsoft publisher, and Canva's made some of that stuff. So even like the Adobe Photoshop stuff, like I know there are still the high levels, but you can do a lot on Canva. Yeah. So I love doing that stuff. And then also just because of my job, I've had to do a lot of, and COVID, the couch choir videos. Do you remember those when they had like all the kids in their little screens singing because we couldn't all be together? So I got good at making some of those videos and putting them together. So like podcast management actually and podcast support is another. There's all sorts of different aspects that people do. Some of it is social media content or social media manager, which trying to do my own business, and that's how they say you should market. And I realized that is a whole thing.
It's a deep, dark hole you can fall into and never come out. No. Researching how to do that.
And everybody has their, and this is also, it's kind of that same thing. You have this strategy and this strategy. And I'm like, okay, you do kind of end up cherry picking. You're like, okay, what works for me? What stays true to me? And what can, who I am. So it can be things like that. But even like my first client she has all these recipe cards, handwritten, but everything's scattered all over in all these different places. So we're going to compile and we're going to make a family cookbook.
I love that.
So, and even, you know, we put some pictures on the front or little stories or notes and stuff about it. So it could be things like that. So I'm still trying to figure out exactly where I'm going to land. My current strongs are like the Canva design, video, audio editing, some of that stuff. But I like organizing. Like, I like doing that stuff.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm okay, pretty, or actually not okay. Like, I feel like I catch on to the tech stuff pretty quickly. And sometimes, and even like presentations, like I do all my lessons on slides. I've used PowerPoint. I've used Keynote. Now it's Google, my school. Now I have a Google school. We couldn't have a Google school in China because it was blocked. But so I've gotten, you know, I know how to do lesson or it's just slide presentations and that type of stuff. So sometimes it's like when you have all the content and the words, but how to put it into something that looks nice or a workbook or that type of thing are the type of things that virtual assistants can do.
So it's going to depend on who your client is.
Yes.
Yeah. And what niche you want to narrow in.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I'm still working on figuring out some of that, but yeah, it's sometimes, and it's like when you have all the creative ideas or but you don't want to get bogged down with the task. And you're like, I have the words, but now I have to make it look pretty, which sometimes people enjoy doing, but sometimes they don't. So that's where I can come in and it's outsourcing. Also, it's for like small businesses or entrepreneurs who don't necessarily want to hire even a part-time employee. So it's a consulting too.
But they like just can't keep up with all their tasks and responsibilities.
And it's overwhelming. So it's able to be like, oh, you know, I'm going to farm out these 5 hours a week to this person who can help me. Yeah.
I need you to organize all of my family photos so that I can start making books. We haven't printed a photo since daughter number two was born in 2013, I think, is when we last printed photos.
It's a hard. My husband told me I needed to have some printed photos in case there was a zombie apocalypse. So I've tried to be good about that.
If you're a young mom caught up in diapers, dinners, and the daily grind, it's easy to forget that your soul needs care too. If you're an older mom who has raised a family and built a life, perhaps it's time to invest in yourself. Maybe you're new to the Bible, or maybe you're coming back to it after years away. Perhaps you're just ready to learn. Yellowstone Theological Institute believes that moms are leaders at home, at church, at work, and in the world. Programs at YTI are accessible to students from diverse backgrounds as they explore their faith through hands-on classroom learning, community involvement, and mentorship. Sit with trusted biblical scholars and mentors who value the weight and wonder of motherhood, and learn the foundations of Christian theology in a warm, welcoming environment. Multiple academic programs are available. The Diploma of Christian Theology program arms students with a thorough foundation and includes 30 hours of classes. You can audit theological classes designed to encourage your heart, deepen your faith, and equip you to lead without the pressure of grades or papers. You can also pursue a Master of Arts or Master of Divinity degree, or one of several new certificate programs. Whether you're looking for spiritual formation, leadership development, or education, there's a seat waiting for you. You can explore current class offerings for the 2026 winter term at yellowstonetheology.org. Registration opens November 3rd and classes begin January 12th. YTI also has a special gift for you. Visit ythi.org/moms to receive a small journal just for you, our Mostly Mom podcast listeners. That's ythi.org/moms.
So I'd love to hear you talk about a skill or a talent, something that you've wanted to master that you haven't yet. thoughts or something as a mom? Because we put so many things on hold for a long time. And I wonder if there's something in you that you'd love to get to someday that you haven't quite yet.
I don't actually, because I have, but I have like my things I love to do.
You have some really great hobbies.
Quilting is probably my favorite, number one. So maybe it would be some of that, though I find in the quilting world, actually it would be designing my own. There's people in the quilting world that really love like the fabrics and finding and matching fabrics. And I prefer going to the Main Street quilting store downtown and they will help me. I'm like, I have this pattern and I like the puzzle part of it. I like putting it together and making it look. But I also, so I do all my stuff by hand.
Which is so impressive.
I know it isn't. It isn't because it's out of laziness.
It's not out of a fondness for the old fashioned.
No. It's because I do like to watch TV and movies, but I also don't sit very well to just watch TV and movies. Like I like to have something to do. And I just find sewing machines finicky. Like I have used them
and they always have a problem that needs fixing. I feel like that happens at with mine.
Yes. So I'm just like, I can't be bothered is my, so maybe it would be that, but I'm like, no, I also kind of like then, I don't know. I like having it in my hands. I like being able to, I don't know, and then you can finagle them together.
Well, I'm even more impressed now. I mean, quilting is its own thing that's very technical, and the fact that you're doing it by hand.
But it just, I know people are always like, what? And I'm like, oh, I can't be bothered to learn. I also love Lego. I do love building Lego, and I've just come to accept that that is my decorating style.
Yeah.
I've got my seasonal Legos when Christmas comes, and I've also tried to learn though I just take it apart and so then I can put it back together again, because otherwise sometimes I don't like when you just build it and then I'm like, oh, it's done.
So you build it and you keep it built, or you take it apart in the box to rebuild later. You would never mix two kits together, would you?
Well, so that's me personally. There's the rest of my family. So I actually found these lovely little like kind of plastic bags that are about that big, and they have sleeves in them so you can slide the manual in, and then I can put I find with the bigger sets though, I need to put like in Ziploc bags. Like here's the top of the house, here's the bottom. Mostly I do that for Christmas. Christmas is where I have like all the Christmas village ones. But my son loved to build them and then he would play with them, which means they all get destroyed.
And then you're searching for hours for that one piece for that kit. Someday.
And we've got them all sort. And I tried one time to sort by piece type. Nobody else cares. So we've gone to the color sorting. And I'm really good at rebuilding broken Lego, but I hate searching for the pieces. I would love to just have a room with all the organizational bins. And this is why I need like a really big she shed.
That would be a really fun room.
It would be a fun room. So that I do like jigsaw puzzles. I like the like coloring, the mandala coloring things. Those are probably, but quilting and then Lego are probably my two. So I don't know. I feel okay with those. I don't know that there's, I do like cooking and baking, although not recently. I've been like, eh. But again, I feel like it's
that ebb and flow though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So sometimes I really feel like doing this. Master cocktail maker, perhaps.
Yes. What does self-care look like? In your current season.
In my current season, isn't that always? Walks are one of my favorite things. And I found both. Our neighborhood walk. I love walking around.
I love our trail system. It's such a great.
And you come
happy
around
place.
That one side and you get the great view of the mountains, or you come this way and you get the Bridgers. And so like, I love that walk, and you can treat it like a track and just do loops. Mm-hmm. And at our house in Poland, or our place in Poland, there's a beautiful forest that's not very far away. And it's just, you're just in the woods and it's gorgeous. So walks are, I do like meditation. And I get frustrated with myself. It's like, why can't I stay consistent with it? It's one of those, I've gone through phases where I've had, and I'd like to go back to this because I feel like this is actually a routine that works well for me and sets me up for the day. And I haven't done it. I could come up with a million and one excuses, but that's exactly what they are. They're just excuses. But I like when I get up in the morning because everybody else in my family likes to sleep in. And so it's quiet. And that's when I would like to usually do a little. I know some people, there's one that's like the 10-minute morning or something. I don't know. There's some thing. But I do like a little bit of meditation, a workout, because then I like to work out at my house because then I can be whatever I want to be and my hair can be whatever. And then I just have to hop in the shower at home. So I like to do a workout. Stretching, I do like yoga a lot. And again, like those are some things where I'm like, I know they make me feel better. So why is it so hard sometimes? But I like when I start my morning off like that with just some quiet time, a workout, and then getting ready. So as I'm saying that, I'm like, I need to do that again.
You'll do that tomorrow morning, won't you?
Oh, well, maybe. I was like, I should. I really love like baths too. Mm-hmm. And I found I miss the bathtub in Poland. It's really long and it's narrow, but it's long enough that like I can stick my legs straight.
You can stretch out.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So like you can stretch out and then it kind of like hugs you in. So, but no, just I mean, glass of wine and a book and some music. And
well, that bathtub is something to look forward to then when you go back.
Because I have something. Yeah.
Is there something that you're looking forward to when you go back to Poland? I know that it's been a hard year the first year, yeah, and you're sort of bracing to go back for the second year, but is there some little nugget of joy or a little bright light waiting for you when you get there?
I mean, I know my kids, especially my daughter, is very anxious to see her friends again. And even my son, he, at our last school, he got along with everybody, but he didn't have his group. Like, he didn't really have his buddies. And at this school, he does have his buddies. So, and we have people we like there too. And we actually have other trips and places because we were excited to be in Europe because we're like, then a lot of other places are closer.
Right. You can hop on a train and...
So, you know, like, we're hoping to be able to do Vienna for Christmas. And so I'm looking forward to that. And I do like our, except for there's no air conditioning, so hopefully it's not too hot when we go back.
When does weather cool off in Poland? Is it like Montana where it's sometime in autumn?
Yeah. And I know when we went there, it was really hot when we landed last year. And they're like, oh, yeah, it's okay. It'll only be hot for like a week or so, and then it'll start to cool off. And we're like, it didn't. But it's one of those climate change things where you're like, oh, things are like they used to get more snow in the winters. And they're like, yeah, 20 years ago, we'd have plenty of snow and, you know, it snowed a few times. Mm. But in general, I'm much more of a four season as opposed to like the tropics of Vietnam. Like when that was the other option, I'm just like, oh, I'm just going to be sweaty the whole time. I don't like being hot and sweaty.
It is nice to have seasons. So I'm with you on that one. I loved your good advice. Don't listen to what anyone else says. Go with your gut. Find what works for you.
I do. And don't worry what other people think about. Like, you're not going to be everybody's cup of tea. That's one thing I wish I would have learned earlier, mm-hmm, is just to let go of trying to impress everybody else.
Yeah.
Or trying to, like, be the overachiever and be the teacher's pet for everybody and trying to please everybody.
Yeah.
Like just be you. Just be kind to others. Not everybody's going to agree with you. Mm-hmm. But you're not going to be everybody's cup of tea. And that's okay.
Yeah. What's a really terrible piece of advice that you've received along the way?
Oh, see, I couldn't, nothing jumped out at me.
Yeah, that's okay.
For that one. Yeah, no, other than just... No, I don't have a terrible.
That's probably good. Or you've just forgotten all of it.
Or I've forgotten them and decided. Or I mean, it goes along the side. But like, especially social media is part of it too. You'll get comments from people. But remember somebody saying once, like, don't take to heart the opinions of people you don't respect. Mm. So just kind of that remembering, like, mm-hmm. yeah, not everybody's.
That's good too. What is something that you wish you could have done differently?
My husband and I will have this conversation, and I think it would be just that being like weight has been something, and like my self-image has been something I've struggled with for much of my life. And I guess I wish I wouldn't have let that consume so much of my attention. Mm-hmm. And it's not that, and I mean, I always know there's more to do, and it's not that I should not, or I don't want to neglect my health. But I know there's, for a long time, it just was always beating myself up because I wasn't doing what I knew I should be doing, or worrying about what other people were going to think, or how does this look on me, or do I need to put that Spanx on, you know, or like, no, I can't wear this because there's too many rolls there. Yeah. And so some of that, or even I wish I would have learned earlier the power of your mind, or how, but to not always believe your mind. And so I guess I'll say on the self-image there, you know, that you just sometimes start to spiral mm-hmm. and just be like, well, then nobody likes me, nobody wants to be around, and just you start to tell yourself all these things. And for a long time, you, and whatever you kind of start to tell your brain, then you are going to start to see
right
the evidence of it. And it can go the other way too, for positive. But when I think when I realized that I'm like, oh, I don't actually have to believe everything I think. Mm-hmm. Like, you kind of have your first thought. One of my friends had told me this, your first thought, that's the conditioned thought. That's what, you know, either your parents or society or whatever kind of culture. But then it's when you pause and like, okay, what's the next thought? What is your, like, oh yeah, that's what social media tells me to think. Like, oh, I need to be skinnier, but do I? How do I feel? Am I, you know, so I think that's it.
That's good.
I wish I wouldn't have spent, yeah, just wasted energy.
Yeah, the things we beat ourselves up for
yes.
and put expectations on ourselves that no one else is putting expectations on.
Nope.
It's all internal.
Yep.
We're really hard on ourselves, I think, aren't we?
Yes. Which in some ways it has served well, because then you've ended up being successful. And so it's this hard, I just feel like in everything it's moderation. I feel like finding the moderation balance is hard, but
yeah,
I feel like that's a key to most things.
What is something you wish you could have known earlier on?
So I think it connects to that.
To that.
Just,
yep.
Or that, especially, this is what our place in Poland. So one of the benefits of a lot of international schools is they do pay for housing mm-hmm. And different allowances in different places. In China, we had this massive villa that half floors.
Oh, wow.
Not necessarily practical spaces, but lots of space. But when you have that space,
you fill it.
Whereas in Poland, we're in this tiny little apartment, and we did this on purpose for the first year because we've learned that you are just sussing things out. You don't know the neighborhoods, you don't know where your friends live, you don't know how that works. And we found an apartment that other teachers who were leaving had. It was a good landlord, and we're like, if you got a good landlord, that's half the battle. But it's 700 square feet, 800 square feet.
It's little.
And
I mean, our houses are not massive houses. They're relatively small houses.
No. We should tell the audience we live like
identical layouts. In fact, funny story about how I met Laura, actually, because this is worth saying, is we were homeless. Technically, we sold a house, and the one we bought was not available for like 6 months or something. And so we were homeless for this chunk of time. And landed randomly in this rental. We didn't know you. We knew your in-laws, and they connected us. And
while we were in China.
While you were in China, we lived in your home for a couple of months.
Yeah.
And I remember walking in thinking, oh, she has nice things and I have little kids, and immediately grabbed all of the like teacups and fragile things and put them on the shelf in the laundry room.
Yeah. That's funny.
So I was sitting in your home for a number of months envisioning like what my home will be like.
So yeah, the place here isn't massive, but like it's tiny, but there's three bedrooms. So each kid has their own room. And we've kind of find we like it. We love it. And we're staying like the next, or we're going to the same place this year too. Yeah. And well, one, and this is the Europeans at IKEA, like there is amazing storage. Like we don't even use all the storage in this little tiny apartment because of how well they, how efficiently it's organized. But it's made me realize, I'm like, huh, I don't really need that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I do like quality and I like to have quality things, but I'm like, I don't need stuff to just have stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't actually, except for I do want my massive like shed hobby room.
For Lego.
I want a big Lego and like quilting and like, so I want a big like empty space for crafting.
A workshop.
Yes, like a workshop. But I feel like I'm like, I don't actually need, I just think we get caught up too much in stuff. And it's easy when you have social media and advertising, that's the whole purpose of a lot of those things is to sell you the stuff. But
I do love IKEA's slogan. I don't know if it's still their slogan, but it was at one point. House doesn't need to be big. It just needs to be smart.
Yeah.
And I loved that.
Yeah.
As someone who comes from the design architecture world.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be huge. You can do really lovely things with small spaces.
And a little space, yeah.
And you've got freedom. Like, that gives freedom from the stuff. And
yeah. So I think I'm learning that as I get older. It's kind of that idea of, like, okay, what really does matter? Like, no, being emotionally available for my kids or, like, being able to spend time. And they don't need a lot of stuff, or they want us. They want, like, our attention. Mm-hmm. They want, like my son, one of his favorite is to go for the walk, and he will just talk about whatever game he's playing and all the characters. And my daughter right now is into writing these books. She keeps stealing my laptop and she just wants to tell me about all the books and all her characters and all her story. Like, that's what they just want. They just want our time. So
yep,
I think that's kind of another lesson that I feel like I've learned. Yeah. But then I'm like, why do we learn all this wisdom and stuff? And then now your body can't keep up. Your body's like, yeah, now you can't really do anything. I don't know.
What was something that surprised you about being a mom?
See, now you're thinking like back to the baby phase. Do you have something as I'm thinking?
Maybe I am just always flabbergasted at how fast it has gone. Yeah. That makes me a little bit sad that I don't have little people in my house anymore. I mean, I have delightful, almost adults, not quite yet, but they're delightful and I love spending time with them. But it went by really fast from having a 2-year-old to now an almost 10-year-old. Like, that was a really fast 8 years.
But it's really fun to see them.
Yes.
I think that's probably what's the surprising thing. It's just watching their little personalities and their quirks and their interests and what they, I can't remember if it was your podcast or if it was somewhere else, but it's just like just watching them play and like what they like to do and just giving them space to do it.
Watching them become who they already are is fascinating.
'Cause
a lot of that is obviously conditioning and the environment and who their parents are, but there's a lot of things in them that are just in them.
Yes.
That I had nothing to do with.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating and fun and delightful to just watch them become themselves.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that part.
What is steadying you and grounding you in this current season of getting ready to move back abroad, getting ready to rent out a house, packing?
I'd probably be my husband. He's the balance to me where I'm like, well, we have to do it now. And he's like, just take a breath. No, it doesn't have to happen right now. Are you sure? It's like, and he just that calming, like, what will be.
Yeah.
One of his, he always uses the, I think it's from Shakespeare in Love, but it's like, it'll all work out. And you're like, well, how do you know? I don't. It's a mystery.
Oh, I like that too.
But it will. And he's always right. It always does work out somewhere, somehow. Maybe not the way you expected.
Yeah.
And usually not in the disastrous way it was playing out in my mind. So.
Looking back at that first year in Poland, this past season, what was something that was, or what was most helpful or useful to you for that first year?
I think it was some of the other friends there or other teachers there just being like, it's your first year, like the next year will be easier, like the second. And again, I think some of it, I just had forgotten what it was like to actually be new at a job. Mm-hmm. That's the interesting thing about this whole virtual assistant thing. But I think it's also good is there's a lot, as you get into it, you're like, oh, I still think I am suited for it. But you realize like all the stuff you don't know.
Yeah.
And that you're like, oh, I do need to figure out this email marketing thing. I do need to figure, you know, there's just all the things. But I also think that's really beneficial as we get older, that you
are learning something new and being stretched. And
that you are being stretched and are becoming a beginner at something again, which is hard. Like, we don't like, especially if you've been an expert at something or done something for a number of years, we don't like being beginners again.
And you can feel your brain sort of like hit the brakes when you hit those new things. Like, it hurts a little to figure something out.
And you're like, do I want to keep going or do you freeze up or do you, and sometimes you just need to take a step back. Mm-hmm. And so that's been, but actually I think it was hard, but I think having something new to work on helped balance some of that or give some excitement. I was talking to another friend and telling her about this and she's like, I haven't heard you this excited about something in a long time.
And that means something.
Yeah, exactly. That was my thought. I was like, oh, and even there was a point, well, just like anything, there's the ebbs and flows of like the, ooh, exciting starting this. And then just being like, oh, I have to find clients though. That part's hard. Oh, but I really, oh, I found this and this worked out well. And so, yeah, the ebbs and flows. I didn't really answer, I don't think, the Poland question. But
oh, no, you did. you answered the question. Are you ready for the rapid fire?
Okay, and maybe, like I said.
I had to come up with some new questions because if you listened to the last season, you'll know these. So we have to shake it up a little bit.
Oh, no. Okay, so I didn't get to study for these, did I? Although I told you I...
No, you didn't.
Oh, no.
What are you... Oh, by the way, there's rules. And I'm not good at following them either, so this will be fun. Try to keep your answer to a minute or less and a sentence or so.
Okay, okay. I'll try.
What are you reading right now?
I don't remember the name of it. I have Game of Thrones going, and then it's like, is it the... something about the Trans-Siberian Expressway. It's a novel. I might have to tell it to you later. It's sitting on my bed. My dad recommended it or lent it to me when he was visiting. So it's about this train, though, that goes through some made-up wasteland and, like, from Beijing to Moscow. But it's not our world. It's a different world.
Oh, interesting.
I know. So I've just started it, which is also probably why I don't remember the title of it.
Yeah.
Oh, and then the other one is a money mindset book, is my nonfiction.
So you have multiples going at a time.
I usually can only handle two, nonfiction and a fiction.
Yeah, so. I get that. What's the first thing you do in the morning?
Usually it's unload the dishwasher and then set it on the timer for the evening so that it is all ready to go. Like, go out there and make my coffee.
What is the last thing you do at night?
It's read.
How long do you read for?
I usually don't make it much more than a chapter.
Yeah.
So even when I try to read sometimes during the day, I start to fall asleep because it's definitely my nighttime. My nighttime thing is I always read. Usually, sometimes I only make it a few pages.
I get that too. What is saving the day right now? A life hack, a habit, a ritual?
Probably my bullet journal. I love bullet journaling, which I had really fancy ones when I was stuck in China for the summers and I had nothing to do.
Stuff.
Great ideas.
Yeah.
But I've actually been using it for like my business and stuff. So I have like little Christmas idea spreads for like Christmas gift ideas and stuff. But like even today or this weekend got derailed by my kitchen faucet And I have this list of things, but I just sat down and I'm like, nope, I need to write it out. And physically for me, physically yes. writing it out is helps me process it and be like, okay, it's not as much as I think.
Mm-hmm. You're overwhelmed, caught in a moment of anxiety or stress. What is the first thing that you do?
Probably drunk. There's the one I wish I would do, and then there's the one I actually do, which is probably pour myself a glass of wine. Usually, actually, what I need, and even this weekend and this past week, I feel like has been an example. I need to stop, and I usually find if I need to write it out.
Make a list,
or even if it's something, well, and I have found it cycles, it fits with the cycle, too. There's times where, like, the insecurities, and I'm like, look what's coming next week. That would explain why I'm all insecure about this.
Yeah.
And so I find, though, that I need, if I write it out and get it out of my head and onto paper, that I can usually let it go.
Yeah.
Or let it go or be like, oh, okay, I'm being a little ridiculous or a little.
But getting it out of our head onto paper is real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even just sometimes seeing the steps. Okay. Like, okay, it seems like a lot, but the reality is I have all day, or I have, like, it won't take that long unless it's a kitchen faucet. Then yeah. It will.
What is your favorite time of day?
I love early morning. Like, even I did the little garage sale yesterday and, like, was walking out to put the signs up. And I love the early morning.
Yep.
Like, when it's quiet, it smells like dew. It's a little bit chilly.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't enjoyed, like, a nice morning for a long time. So that makes me want to go back to that.
What are three things that you're grateful for right now?
There's a lot of things. I am really grateful for my family. Like, I just, and my kids, I was like, you guys, and my husband, they're amazing. I'm grateful that I have the opportunity to live here. Like, I love Bozeman, and I'm like, that I get to be in the mountains all the time. But then I have also gotten to live in, like, I get to say I live in Europe, and that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I do feel very lucky that I do have options. Like, we're talking about maybe moving back here. And while we don't know what that might look like, I feel like there are possibilities. Mm-hmm. And so I feel very blessed that there are options.
Yeah. Describe an ordinary everyday moment that brings you joy.
Oh, that makes me think of my favorite movie, About Time, which
we both
I made
love
you watch.
That movie.
Didn't I make you
watch it? You didn't make me watch it. I was over there as fast as possible. It's a great movie. Yeah.
It's such a great movie. It's like those, it's when I get to sit down with any of my kids, I only have two, or my husband, anybody from my family, where you sometimes have those moments where you just, whether it's over a cup of coffee or if you're just sitting next to them on the couch and they start telling you about whatever is on their mind.
Yeah.
So I think those are my favorite, where you just have that authentic connection.
Yeah.
And so that's why because I'm very much the one, I'm always like thinking about other things. And so I'm trying to be better about because what broke my heart the other day, this is where I'm going over your rule, I'm extending it. My daughter has been writing all these books, but her auntie also loves books and was listening to her the other day. And she was like, somebody was listening. They want it. And she was asking the questions and she was interested in what I had to say. And I was like, oh, that's wonderful. And you're like, well, because you and dad, like, sometimes you just don't seem very interested. And I'm like, oh, no. I'm like, that's not what I want to convey.
Yeah.
And so, and granted, she'll tell us in little bits and pieces and stuff. But so I was like, okay, so should we go have a coffee date? Or like, there's a bagel shop by our place in Poland. And I was like, let's go there. We'll bring the computer, because she's also been designing her book covers and
stuff. I love
it. So I was like, and then, so it made me kind of realize, like, okay, that undivided. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why my son likes the walks with me mm-hmm. so much, because it's that undivided. I'm not trying to do something else at the same time.
Yeah. Well, thank you for being here. Thank you for joining me, and blessings on you as you head back to Poland. And we'll be very excited to see your kids on our doorstep next summer.
It's true.
Yeah.
Thank you.
A huge thank you to my guests for taking time out of their busy lives to sit for a conversation with me. It's a delight
joy, and privilege to have you join me. The Mostly Mom Podcast is a production from Ordinary Everyday Studio. Find us on Instagram and online at ordinaryeveryday.studio. Audio and editing by Logan Tomorrow. Thank you for listening.